1 Corinthians chapter number 7, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 24 tonight. And I want to preach on the impact of getting saved, or the impact of conversions over all relationships. You know, when a person gets saved, when they truly get born again, there is an impact that comes about in that person's life. We've taught conversion. They change into one thing into another, and it influences everything that goes on in their life. And the Corinthians had some things in their life that, as a result of their conversions, they were dealing with that they never had to deal with before. Some issues of morality they really never worried. They were never concerned with until they got saved, and suddenly the Holy Spirit was prodding them, and then people were telling them stuff, and they were questioning. Sometimes it's hard for a new Christian, and even some older Christians, because sometimes influences and what people say, people may trust, that has a big impact on our life. It's hard to determine exactly what God wants us to do in certain situations. So Paul was, again, this chapter deals with the Radio Shack. If he says you got questions, we got answers. What we have a lot of in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is the answers. And we know Paul was asked a question, so we almost have to guess what the questions were. Look at verse 17 of the chapter. It says, "But God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but thou mayest be made free. Use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Help me to present this in a way that is clear and that would be a help to everyone here. If we want to be your servants, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at this passage. I want to point out two things. It speaks of two types of calls. There's the call of salvation, and then there's the speaking of a life calling, and that's what God's plan and God's purpose is for an individual's life. And that resounds many times within here. He says in verse, "But as God has distributed every man, as the Lord hath called every one, let him so walk." The Bible says, "Any man called being circumcised, is any man called in uncircumcision?" He says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." If not careful, we'll get confused, but calling has a reference to his place, his lot in life, where God has placed him. And the word called is often used of those that's been called to salvation, and that's what he's talking about. In fact, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse 2, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, unto them that are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints." It mentions that. And later on in the same chapter, in verse number 24, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of salvation." Verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after flesh, not many noble are called." And it speaks to that. Romans chapter number 1, and I believe it's verse 6 and 7. I'll have to look and make sure. It says, "Among whom also the called of Jesus Christ, to all the saints," or "to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So there's two types. There's the calling. That's where your lot is in life. But when he says called, and it says it over and over in this passage, you're not careful, you almost get your mind confused. I do. Keep in mind, the called is a reference to those that's been called unto faith, unto salvation. But the calling refers to where God's got you in this life, his position in his life. And so we see some things here. When we meet Christ, I believe our lives are changed. And I believe they're changed forever. The Corinthians had all sort of relationship problems as we study. And what it did, it required God's wisdom in their life. Some wondered if they should marry. They were single. Is the physical relationship of marriage was one of the questions they had. Is that evil? They questioned whether widows and divorced people should remain single or if they should marry. What if we don't have any self-control? They needed to answer that question. They even asked questions about divorce. What about being married to a non-believer? Is that not right? Should we leave our non-believing husband? Should we leave our non-believing wife? And the questions just kept coming because they were saved and they really didn't know how to deal with this because they saw a lot of perversion within the city of Corinth that was a very sexual explicit city with everything that happened there. Some of the Gentiles were wondering if they shouldn't try to look more Jewish. And some of the Jewish people were being influenced by what was called Hellenistic Jews, and that's the Jewish people that adopted Greek names, and they thought maybe they should start looking Greek. Abandoning their Jewish heritage after salvation because they felt like that really didn't mean anything. They were free from the law now that they were in Christ. But there were some with the influence and perhaps thinking that maybe they should look more Jewish. And so what is the fact is the Christian faith, it affected every part of them, every aspect of life. It affected their relationships, social relationships, employee-employer relationships. And so Paul laid down what I believe to be some principles, how they should act and how they should react to these things in their lives once that they were saved. And so I believe that one of the principles that helped guide them was the question that would be asked, what do I do now that I'm a Christian? And that's probably one of the questions that was asked. And so, the first thing the Apostle Paul wants them to understand, wherever God's got you in your life, your calling, He wants you to be content. Now think about that. Most of us want more and more. We want a better position, more money, a bigger house, a bigger farm, bigger car, a nicer truck, a bigger gun, Isaac. Right? A bigger deer. We're never content. We want more, more, more. And that is something that everyone struggles with in this life. There's no doubt about it. And so what you find, he wants the people at Corinth to understand they need to be content. Notice verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, the ones that's been saved, so let him walk, so ordain I in all churches. In other words, he's saying, wherever God's got you in this life, you need to learn to be content with it. Look in verse number 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. He says, listen, because you get saved, he don't mean that you have to radically and dramatically change everything that's going on in your life. You don't have to quit doing the job you're necessarily doing. You don't have to leave your husband or your wife because you got saved. He said, wherever God has you in this place, in this earth, His plan, His purpose for you, He said, listen, it's fine. Be the best Christian you can be wherever God has got you right now. And so what you'll find is, not only that, he's three times, because verse number 24, he says again, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. In other words, what he needs to be concerned about, not where he's at, but he needs to have fellowship and close, intimate fellowship with God. I believe he wanted them to be content. Paul's encouraging, through the inspiration of God, every person to lead the life that God has assigned to them. Do you realize your assignment in life is different than Grant Hardwick's? I need to be content with the assignment wherever God has me. You need to be content to wherever God has you. Whenever God calls you there, you ought to stay and make the best of it until God is done with you. And when God moves you on, then you go and you be satisfied there. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Turn there with me. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So Paul's instructing these people, be content. Be content. And he goes on, not only there, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Turn there. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 11. The Bible says that, not that I should speak of respect of want, for I've learned that whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He wants us to learn to be content wherever God has us, wherever, whatever our calling is in life, whatever His purpose for you in life, He wants you to be content. That's what God's design is. Now, He uses a couple things. He uses a religious illustration in verses 18 through 20. Look, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:18, is any man called being circumcised? In other words, did God call you to salvation and you were already circumcised? Because maybe they were a good Jewish person, they were following the orthodox way of Judaism that day. They were called to be circumcised. He said, listen, He says, let him not become uncircumcised. And is any called in uncircumcision? Did God save some that were uncircumcised? They don't have to be circumcised. In other words, He's saying wherever God's called you, don't be worried about the externals and the appearance. Some people are saying apparently it'd be more spiritual if you look more Jewish. Now, you say, how in the world would they know something of this? How would they know if a person is uncircumcised or circumcised on that day? And just studying some things, I found out it was very, very, this culture would shock us, and as parents, we'd have to walk around with hands over one eye of our own and an arm around the eyes of our children if you lived in the city of Corinth. There were a lot of things they had to work on, and it was there in the city of Corinth that the people there celebrated the Olympic Games, but also they held the Isthmian Games there, which was kind of an Olympic knockoff that happened every 2 years, but it was a big deal, and the athletes participated in the nude. Can you imagine? And so people saw what people looked like literally and saw this day in and day out. And so people were exposed, and people were like, well, listen, what should a person do if they're saved? No doubt this question, should we look Jewish or should we look like a Gentile? And some people thought it'd be more spiritual to say, listen, Jesus was Jewish. Our men ought to look Jewish. And then some would say, well, listen up, though. We're free from the law, so we shouldn't be circumcised. So that silly debate, we think it's silly, do we not? But you know, there's probably some things we fight about that they would think was plumb silly. Amen. Huh? But it was a big deal to them, so Paul had to address it. Now, we find this, it's amazing to me. He uses this religious illustration, and Paul no doubt shaking his head, said, none of that stuff is really important. You're worried about the exterior. You want to change something that really doesn't matter. And so he uses all that as a civil illustration. Look at verse 21. The Bible says that art thou called being a servant? That's a slave. Care not for it? I could imagine any of them cared being a servant or being a slave. But he says, listen, called, you were saved. You were called to salvation, being a servant. Care not for it. But if thou mayest be free, use it rather. Some people in their life is they thought because if they got saved by the grace of God, and maybe their master, the one that owned them, was saved by the grace of God, they thought the very first thing they ought to do is turn them free. And so they're bucking against the system. Look in verse 22. It says, for he that's called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. If you are called to salvation and you're a slave, you're free in the Lord. But he says, regardless of this, even if a person was free and he owned slaves, but when God called him, they become the servant or the slave of the Lord. And so he's trying to give instructions. He says, be Christ's servant. Wherever God's got you in life, they're going to shut people. The Bible never demanded a revolution over slavery. Didn't. Now, there's principles all through the Word of God that it was wrong because of the way we are to respect human life and revere human life. You say, what are you saying, Brother Grant? But you'll never find Paul never ordered social disruption over the issue of slavery. He just didn't. He said, if you're a slave, then you'd be the best servant you could be to your master. And if you own slaves, he expected you to treat them the way that an individual should. That, and you say, well, Brother Grant, that just seems wrong. That was a culture and that was the society of today. As much as we don't understand how people run around naked and we don't understand how people did the things that they did in that culture as far as Isthmian and the Olympic Games and the struggles and had temples that was dedicated to the worship of Aphrodite and they had temple prostitutes. I don't understand that. It's strange to me. May I say to you, dear friends, we got to understand that there were some things that they struggled with in their life as well. And this was one of the things Paul did not explicitly demand that they'd settle free. But he did say this. And this principle we can carry it over. If you work for somebody, you ought to be the best employee you can be. And if you're an employer, you ought to be the best employer you can be as a Christian. Pretty simple, is it not? That's, I believe that application is made yet today. And so he said, listen, wherever God's got you, you be Christ's servant. It doesn't really matter. You see, I want you to understand, all of us that are in God should serve Him until He calls us somewhere else. Romans 6 and 22. Turn that, Romans 6 and 22. The Bible says, now being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and unto everlasting life. One thing, we've all have been made free from sin, but we've all been made the servants or the slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ought to stay in our situation and make the best of it. Listen, because you get saved by the grace of God and you don't like it because your husband is not a Christian and he don't like church, that's not a good excuse to leave him. If you're at a place and your employer, listen to me, he's not a Christian and he mocks you, it's not necessarily a good reason to just leave. And so forth and so on. Wherever you may be in life, he's saying, listen, the only reason that you ever ought to leave someplace if it makes you compromise something that is morally unethical. Listen to me, and I say this to me. You say you'd be satisfied in the lot that God has me in life. Obviously, if somebody was living a homosexual lifestyle, they were to come out of it. The Bible is explicitly against it. Paul's taught explicitly about that. If someone was living and shacking up with one another, obviously, they were to end that relationship. But because someone is married and someone differed with them, did not give them excuse to leave that marriage. And Paul wanted to make it clear. So it was a principle of commitment. Now let me move on. I didn't mean to spend that long at all with this, but it's pretty good stuff. And the second thing was the principle of commitment. You were to be content, but you were to be committed. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. In other words, we need to be committed to following God's word and doing God's will in our life. Notice verse 24. The Bible says, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. So I believe the first thing when we get saved, we need to understand the principle of contentment. Secondly, the principle of commitment. We need to be committed to the Lord and not hung up on externals. Shouldn't be hung up on those things. We need to be committed to God's will. In fact, in verse number 24, let every man wherein he's called therein abide. That word abide means stay. God is in our circumstances. You realize that? God's in our situation. Paul no doubt had many detours in his life, but guess what? God used them for His will. The circumstances of things that Paul thought were trouble were things that brought him to where he needed to be. I believe this, that he used sometimes those circumstances he didn't plan for, and the things that happened that he had to change his plans on a whim, he used them for the glory of God. You see, he saw those things. You see, he said, listen, if you wish you're not married, he said, listen, he said, that's not a good reason to get out of marriage. You wish that you weren't divorced, he said, listen, sometimes you can't do nothing about those things. You need to be committed to the Lord regardless where you're at and what's going on in your life, because God has a plan for your life. Be committed. I don't care what's went on. Sometimes we don't understand why, but he wants us to stay close to God's will. And I believe that's what he's instructing us. If we know in Romans 8:28, and I done preached this morning, God has a purpose, God has a plan. And it's a commitment, let me say, to God's way. You see, we don't see the whole picture. God's way is different than our way. So it's a commitment to God's way. Doing things His way in our life rather than ours. I believe one of the things we have a problem with is this, that we often look at all the externals and evaluate things and what we see going on around us. See, God, I don't like where I'm at. I don't like what you're doing. And you know what? God doesn't look at the externals and evaluate things. He looks at the internal things and evaluates them. He looks what's going on the inside, and He wants us to be committed. He wants us to be content. He wants to be satisfied with where He wants us to be. And I believe the internals are more important than the externals. Your life status, let me tell you something. I don't care what people think about you, what does God think about you? Marriage, you say, well, did I marry up or I marry down? Well, it really doesn't matter. You ought to be content with one God gave you, and you ought to be committed to following God's will and plan for your life and your marriage. What's my position in life? What's my station in life? Listen, it doesn't matter. You be content where God's placed you and be committed to serve God there. You may be in a difficult situation. It may be hard. It may be harsh. It may break your heart. But let me just tell you something. One thing you better realize is this, that it is all temporary. It's all temporary. God's way is real. All the stuff we go through is going to fleet. It's going to pass. We forget that thinking that only the things we can see and the things that we can touch, the things that we can literally feel is the only things that's real. But listen, these things will pass away. But the things that we do for God are the things that are going to last, the things we do the right way, building upon the right foundation, being committed to God, being content with where He's got us, and saying, God, I'm going to be the best Christian, I'm going to be the best father, I'm going to be the best husband, I'm going to be the best cousin, I'm going to be the best pastor, I'm going to be the best employer, I'm going to be the best employee, dental hygienist, wherever God's got me, God, I want to honor and glorify You. Be content and be committed to that. You see, I believe this. The things of this earth are going to pass away one day. And I believe the first minute in heaven, we're going to learn something. You know what we're going to learn? The things that we thought were so important really didn't matter. So what's Paul say? Be content. Be committed. Wherever you're at in life, if you're the saved of God, and realize that He will take care of you. That's what He requires for us. To be the right kind of Christian. Be content and be committed. Our Father, thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the opportunity to preach tonight. I know this. There's a lot of things some people I think more exciting, but God, we need to hear these things. We need to understand them. I need to be reminded of them. I like to complain. I like to grumble about stuff. That's because I don't have this old nature under subjection the way I have. God, I'm sorry for that. God, help us everyone to look around and be thankful, because I promise you, I've seen enough in this world to know that we got it good, that we got it great. And God, help us to be content, and help us to be thankful, and God, help us to be committed to You regardless of our lot in life and what's going on around us. Help us not to look at everybody else and listen to the voices that says this is what we need. God, help us look to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet tonight.